Hey, what is up, family? It's your girl, Alicia, coming at you hot with episode 7 of Alicia Wilson Radio. I'm pumped for today. We have a lot to cover today. When I was polling the famgram, trying to think about the next subject that I wanted to talk about on my podcast, I kind of put some feelers out about what everyone thought about this subject, and I was absolutely blown away with one, the involvement and kind of the investment that a lot of people had in this subject, but two, the opinions, and not only that, the life-changing stories that I heard about people who got involved with what we're going to talk about today. So this podcast kind of started one way, went another way, and I'm just really excited to kind of be the middleman to, one, give you my experience with the subject, but two, kind of really lay down the law of what it is that we're talking about. And what we're talking about today is affiliate marketing or multi-level marketing. The way I like to look at it is 100% the social media online business of the future. We're going to talk about both. We're going to talk about the differences, but more than anything is I'm really excited to kind of share a little bit of what I've learned talking with all of you and kind of share my experience. Obviously, as someone who runs their business online, I've dabbled in affiliate marketing. I do collaborations. I do the things. Now, I'm not going to lie, multi-level marketing is something that I'm pretty novice to. So I was lucky that I know a lot of individuals who are absolutely crushing it in the MLM arena, if you will. And I got to rack their brain, and I have tons and tons and tons of tips and stories and things to share with you about what they told me. So this is going to be exciting because I think this podcast is for anyone who is trying to run a business online and get your side hustle on. But more than that is I really truly think that this marketing and this style of sales is really the business of the future. So we kind of should all pay attention whether or not we're into it yet or not. So stick around, guys. This is going to be a good one. Really quick update before we get into the goods. First off, if you're new to the podcast, hello. Thanks for stopping by. I'm super pumped to have you here. My name is Alicia Wilson. You can follow me on the famgram, or what everyone else calls it, Instagram. But I call it the famgram because I really truly feel like we have a community that is like, we're just a bunch of homies and we talk about things and we're not afraid to be ourselves. And I don't know, I think it's a pretty good time. But if you're interested in that, you can pop on over to at Alicia A. Wilson, AlyshaAwilson. Or if you want to learn a little bit more about me, you can always head over to my website, www.alishawilson.com. Learn all the fun things about me if you want to know more. But if you aren't new to the podcast and you've been following the gram for a hot minute, girl, first off, love you. Secondly, you would know that we got some big stuff going on this week. Like, what is it? I'm probably going to have a baby this week. So that's pretty cool. I'm excited about that. It's my second rodeo. So what's really nice is that I'm not completely terrified like the first one, but I still have really no idea what's going on because, well, I don't know. Every single time I have a kid, I'm kind of just open to what the universe wants to give me, and I try not to make this perfect plan in my head and roll with it, but I'm not going to lie, you guys, I have like been quasi in like early labor for 2.5 weeks now, and I'm kind of over it. Like, I know the universe is like giving me all of the things and all of the feels, but I'm kind of just like, screw you, universe. I'm ready to get this ginormous alien child out of me. And I will apologize if I'm breathing a little bit heavy. One, it's because I'm super pregnant and I'm super sweaty. And no matter what I do, even talking makes me have boob sweat. And I just started, right when we started recording this, I started having some contractions. So don't freak out. Don't alarm. We're not going to go to the hospital. And if we do, we'll take this in the car and I'm mobile and we can finish it up on the way there. But that is what's going on in my life right now. So actually recording a podcast is a nice little distraction from the alien that's currently contracting my body, making me sweat and have jowls, which is really cool. But that's a whole nother podcast that we'll talk about later, all the fun stuff that happens during pregnancy. But so today, back on subject, Alicia, we are diving into multi-level marketing or affiliate marketing. I wanted to start this off by kind of explaining what the difference is between both, because the lines can get a little blurred. And I don't know, I feel like people are a little saturated with all of the marketing with social media right now. And so some people are just kind of turned off to the whole thing. So I wanted us to kind of walk in with an open mind. Let's learn what it is before we decide to judge it. And I guarantee you, no matter if you're running a business right now online or you're working for a business that has an online presence, all of this stuff is going to make sense and is going to apply to what you're doing in your current career. So I wanted to start off with what I'm most familiar with, which is what I like to call affiliate marketing. So a great way to kind of terminology the affiliate marketing is it's basically a marketing agreement with an online business, product, personality, and a influencer, blogger, person of substantial influence on social media, that they basically create a referral program to share products, discounts, different sales, updates, et cetera, to either one, drive traffic for the product or the business to their site, or drive sales. And in return, that person of influence, I hate saying influencer, don't make me say it, that person of influence gets a percentage of either the sale, or they're getting just a downright fee for, you know, performing the service of promoting them. So that's a great way to kind of like just iron out what affiliate marketing is. A great example of this is when you see a blogger, obviously you've seen them post about maybe, let's say, a pair of shoes, and then at the end they say ad, or this is a paid partnership with so-and-so. That's kind of your more like straightforward, this is an affiliate marketing type of post. And we all see that, right? There's also other types of affiliate marketing that can be a little less forward. And those are really the more of the affiliate marketing that I like to do, which is one, Amazon runs a great affiliate program where basically it's products that I love, I share, I have a link to, and if someone decides to click on that link, they like the product too, they buy it, I get a small percentage of that. So we see bloggers doing that all the time. It's basically just sharing what you're already using and the company's giving you a kickback for that. Kind of the third thing that you would see is someone may be promoting a product and they'll offer you a code. Now this is because I've been in the fitness industry for so long, and I was in the fitness industry, I'm like an OG, okay? So I was in the fitness industry when there wasn't huge followings. You know, Instagram and Facebook was relatively pretty new, and most of your affiliate marketing was done kind of in a grassroots campaign style, like at an expo, trying different supplements, like that kind of a thing. That's how I started off with affiliate marketing, to where now, literally, I see some people of influence just have codes for literally everything under the sun, even down to like doing your hair or your supplements or what spray tan you're using. You can literally take their code and apply it to all different types of products. So basically you take their code, you apply it, that company gives them a kickback. Or, you know, you can have a discount with their code and they're still going to get a percentage of that kickback. But basically that's kind of what you see most often in affiliate marketing. I wanted to take this and kind of walk into this, and there's really a science to affiliate marketing, and there's a science to doing it too correctly. One of the people that I think does affiliate marketing in just the classiest, most professional way is Jenna Kutcher. If you're not listening to her podcast, first of all, it's one of the number one business podcasts like around, okay? Female entrepreneurs, listen up. This is a girl you need to follow. She is a huge inspiration for me, and she's also someone that I think that does affiliate marketing like a badass. But in her podcast, this is how she kind of describes it. So there's three types of affiliate marketing. There's unattached affiliate marketing. So that's basically when you're on Pinterest and you click on a blog and underneath all of a sudden an ad pops up and you click on it. That is unattached affiliate marketing, where basically you don't really have much investment. You're just throwing up ads on places that people are going to see different things for different reasons. So there's really not a lot of involvement in that. And I don't do a lot of that. If you've ever been to my blog, the Pash Life blog, you will never ever see an ad, hardly ever. One is because I just feel like we're so bombarded with so many ads for everything right now. All I want to do is give the people what they want. If they wanted to go to my blog to see what baby products I bought, that's what I want to give them. I don't want to bombard them with ads. But that is a huge way that you can make an extra income with affiliate marketing, is just the unattached affiliate marketing side of things. This is available for anyone. So anyone who has a website can put an ad on there, drive traffic to another site, and get paid for it. Anybody can do this type of affiliate marketing. The second type of affiliate marketing is called related affiliate marketing, which basically it's an affiliate links that are related to your content. Okay, so you do have a little bit more involvement in this. So maybe this is when someone visits your website, you have a banner ad or a sidebar ad that has something to do with the content that you're putting out there. So it's not just random ads popping up at people, but it's actually like, okay, so for example, I just did the blog about what favorite baby products that I use. So they're reading the blog about baby products, and then the baby product that I talk about, there's an ad next to it. So it's not super surprising. It's not super invasive. And most people don't really mind it, I think, because, well, that's the whole reason they're there in the first place. And then the third, which is kind of my favorite, and Jenna Kutcher does this amazing, and she's inspired me a lot. She has a huge, huge, huge following, and she's very, very particular about what products that she really does affiliate marketing with. And I try to do the same thing, not because I think that only certain products are good enough for me. It's because I really appreciate the fact that people want to know my opinion. I mean, think about that. Like, you hear people all the time say, I want to be an influencer. And I'm like, well, that's, first off, it's weird to just say I want to be an influencer, because basically you're saying, I just want to have influence on people. And that's really weird just to say to me. I feel like to have influence on people, you have to earn it. Whether you're giving someone entertainment, you're giving them knowledge, you're, serving a different motivational purpose. Basically, like, I think you get influence when you deserve it, because you've given something back. And it's the same way with products. I can never just promote a product. And I know a lot of people say this and you're like, yeah, right. No, for real, you guys, I have turned down huge, huge, huge paychecks to promote products because I knew that my audience really wouldn't care about it, or it wouldn't serve them in a way that I thought should actually help them. Especially being in the fitness industry, I get hit up with what I like to call, I'll just say it, bullshit products all day long, that I could just take those checks, cash them, and say, yeah, I use this, you guys should try it. When deep down, I know that you don't need that product. You work really hard for your money. I don't want to tell you to waste it on something that I truly don't believe in. So when I do involved affiliate marketing, I take it really serious, because I think being in the position to give someone your opinion and someone actually give a damn about what you say, that's a really special thing. And I try to hold it near and dear to my heart and be very, very responsible with it. So like I said, involved affiliate marketing is that you're very involved. It's more of a testimonial style marketing in your content. So if you've ever been on my page before, And like I said, I actually this last year decided for an entire year, I wasn't going to do any paid promotions. Okay. So every single thing that I talked about, I was doing affiliate marketing, but I wasn't getting any payment from them whatsoever, because I really wanted to kind of cleanse my page and cleanse my soul of people really having a lot of trust with me, because they knew I wasn't getting a kickback of any of this. But I was still doing involved affiliate marketing because I was getting products, I was testing them out, I was using them in my life, and then giving my experience back with them. I do this constantly with products. that I think people will just enjoy. And I like to not just say, hey, you should look at this product, but tell them why. And I feel like you can't really tell someone why they should use a product until you've had experience yourself. So that is really what involved affiliate marketing is. And that's what I always suggest. If when you're looking at affiliate marketing, that's the style of marketing that people are going to appreciate the most. Now, can all of these styles exist? Yes. Are they all a great way to kind of earn your side hustle and, you know, kind of complement your content? Absolutely. There's professional ways to do all of this. The biggest thing to remember when you're looking at the styles of affiliate marketing, number one is be genuine about it. Do not throw up ads. Do not throw up content. Do not repost stuff if it has nothing to do with what your page is about or what your website is trying to accomplish or what your brand is trying to speak. Don't do it, because although you may have a short-term benefit financially, what you will lose long-term is you will lose respect and you will lose connection with the people who are actually interested in what you have to say. That is the number one thing I can tell you when it comes to affiliate marketing, is be genuine about it. Yes, be selective about it, but you don't have to be so selective that, you know, you only think you can represent one or two products. I think people are used to the point now where they're like, okay, like, you run your business online, you talk about products online. I think they're very forgiving that they're like, you can talk about a couple products in a month and we're still gonna roll with you. It's when every single day, the only thing you're throwing up is affiliate marketing style content. And that's something that, just personally, as someone who follows a lot of people just as fans, I get a little annoyed with too. So I try to make sure that I am kind of, when people think of what they're coming to my page for, the last thing that they're thinking of is, okay, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna see a bunch of paid advertisements. But really they're coming because they're like, okay, Alicia gives us content, and then maybe once in a while she throws some products in there that we might like. That's kind of the style and the approach that I take. And it's really helped me, one, be able to negotiate with products, with companies, and create affiliate marketing that I feel proud of. And also be able to still connect with my community and not, like, I don't know, take advantage of the platform and just throw products at them and try to just make money off of them. But actually, I hope that you guys know that I really do care. I really do care what you see on my page. And I really want you to know that I value you before I value what you could possibly buy from me. And it will always be that way. Always, always, always. So, and then as a little side note, people always ask me, well, I only have, you know, 200 followers. I only have 1,000 followers. I can't do any affiliate marketing. And I stop them dead in their tracks. And Jenna Kutcher, once again, going back to my girl, she says this, and I totally, totally believe in it. If you have one follower, if you have one friend, if you belong to one group, if you have one public outing, you have influence. Influence is not just for the masses. And in fact, right now, if you're kind of trying to get your page going or get your brand off the ground, there's a thing called a micro influencer. So that's someone who has a following under 100,000. More like, I like to say micro influencers around the 30,000 mark, as far as followers or under. You have a lot of power, because what is happening, and as our culture kind of develops within, this thing called social media, people start seeing, you know, pages and brands that have huge followings, and they kind of lose their connection. It's like you lose the connection with the masses. And they also kind of find it a little intimidating, and they don't trust a lot of profiles that have a huge following just because of the culture of what it is today. To where when you go over and you might see a business that has 30,000 followers, you might see an influencer that has 12,000 followers, but they really connect with who they're talking to, and you can see that the community is interacting. It has a lot of power because it's more genuine. It didn't get lost in all the following. It didn't get lost in all the messages. It didn't get lost in the hundreds of negative comments that are on these huge influencers' pages. It's kind of what I like to think of as a little bit more intimate, and people are a lot less intimidated by it. So I think having even a smaller following can actually help you in the long run, because you can be very, very specific about what you're trying to say on your page, And not only that, you can make sure that what you're trying to say is connecting with the people who are following you. So don't think just because you don't have a huge following that you can't do affiliate marketing. In a later podcast, I'm going to really break it down how to start affiliate marketing, how to talk to companies, how to start working with companies. That's a totally, that needs a whole podcast on itself. But just know that you have the ability, as long as you have one follower, one friend, one person that you talk to, you can be an affiliate marketer. You can have influence, because all it takes is one. Touching on influence is a great kind of leader going into our next subject, which is multi-level marketing. I wanted to break down what multi-level marketing was, because the lines can get a little blurred in terms of what's different between affiliate marketing and multi-level marketing. And I honestly wanted to do this segment of the podcast to really open some minds about multi-level marketing. I think it's maybe unfairly, yet maybe deserved a little bit of the reputation that it's got. But what a lot of people need to realize is multi-level marketing is not new. It's just new to be this popular as a business. So they're still working out the kinks. It's still really new to us as consumers. And maybe before you decide if you love it, if you hate it, all of the things, which I'm going to tell you what everyone told me about multi-level marketing, I want to just break it down what it was and kind of get down to the nitty-gritty, because I'm telling you guys, as someone who is not involved with a multi-level marketing company currently at the moment, I still see how much potential is there. I still talk to people who multi-level marketing has changed their life financially, lifestyle-wise. Like, it's brought a lot of good to a lot of people. And then I've also seen some really big negative sides of multi-level marketing. So let's just do this, okay? Do me a favor, since I'm dropping all these free knowledge nuggets at you, just have an open mind and let's walk through and let let your girl tell you what I found out, okay? So multi-level marketing. First off, I've learned, do not call it pyramid scheme marketing. One, if a company is truly following a pyramid scheme, it's kind of illegal. Actually, it's really illegal. So if someone says it's a pyramid scheme, make sure you look into it, because if it truly is, you should not be involved with it. But what it is it's multi-level marketing, okay? It's a marketing strategy for the sale of products, whether they be services, whether they be specific products, whether they be memberships. There's all different kinds of ways that it can present itself. But basically, it's where revenue of the MLM company is driven from non-salaried workforce selling for the company. Think of it this way, all right? So say back in the day, homeboy was selling buttons, okay? He hired two full salary employees to sell buttons, okay? That's what we know of business today. A business needs people to sell their product. They hire them. They're their employees. They sell. Okay. Well, then maybe 10 years later, homeboy was like, well, only two people can only cover so much territory, but I can't really afford, because I'm bringing on all these new buttons, I can't really afford to hire a nationwide work staff or workforce full-time salaried. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to contract some sellers. I'm going to give them a kickback of a percentage of all the new buttons that they sell. So that way I can get more profit to put into my business to make more buttons. And they're going to get paid for their work to do for promoting and selling my buttons. Why I talked about buttons, I don't know. But hopefully that's a great way to break it down. If you're really thinking about multi-level marketing, that's all it is. It's a company who decided to take a different sales strategy and a different financial involvement with their sales force, okay? That's what I think a lot. I don't know if every single company under the sun who's a multi-level marketing company starts out wanting to be an MLM. I think for the most part, a lot of companies have been seeing how successful multi-level marketing can be for startup companies, for products, and for really, I don't know, involving a nationwide community versus trying to just take it on with a few employed individuals. So I kind of like that about multi-level marketing. I think it's smart for a business. I think if I ever had a specific product, I would even maybe look at that road. I think it's a tricky one, and I think some businesses are doing a really great job at it. And I think some businesses are they're just not good. Just not good. And we'll talk about that because I'm not afraid to tell you who I think is doing a real shitty job on a multi-level marketing scheme. But here's a couple other tidbits that I wanted you to think about with multi-level marketing that as I was kind of investigating it more, kind of popped into my head that were kind of new thoughts on the subject. But if you think about it, multi-level marketing is in some form kind of like buying local, all right? So no, you're not going to the Saturday, you know, marketplace and buying vegetables from the local, you know, gardener. But what you are doing is when you buy a product from an associate who's selling an MLM product or service, you're supporting their business. So in a weird way, you kind of are buying local, which I think is cool. And here's another thing, and this is the biggest thing, and it's kind of, I know it's scaring people right now, and I know it's especially scaring people who still haven't made the final jump to being 100% an online business, but here's the deal, guys. Brick and mortar business is dying. And it's not just like here and there. Like, let's face it, online shopping is shutting down brick and mortar businesses in certain industries. Payless, Toys R Us, Kmart, Macy's, all of these places that I kind of realized I've grown up my whole life seeing storefronts, my children won't see their storefront. Like, how crazy weird is that? And they'll never, I don't even know how fast it will happen, but I know there will be a day where my kids will be like, you went and tried on shoes and bought them. You didn't just order them online. Like, let's face it. Like, that is the future of business. It's all going online. And you're crazy. You're crazy if you think all business will eventually be online. Obviously, we're not going to go get haircuts online. There's certain industries that will always be brick and mortar. Thank goodness. I think that we need to keep as much human contact as we can. But as someone who has moved my own personal business from a brick and mortar at one time to online, I see the value and I see that you have to evolve with the culture or you will die with it. And MLM is a huge kind of what I would say an eye-opening experience to what business is going to be for a lot of people. So I think it's really important to kind of be open-minded to MLM because although it's not brand new, MLM has been around forever, it's very new to how massive it is. And we need to pay attention to it, whether or not we're involved in it or not, if you are an entrepreneur. So to kind of get a little bit more specifics with MLMs, and every MLM is different, and I totally encourage you in the comments, if you are involved in an MLM, and what I say isn't how your company is, I totally apologize. I'm just going off of, like I said, I'm not involved in MLM. So I'm going off of what the few people that I had talked to, what their business kind of focuses on. And so when you're an affiliate of an MLM, you typically gain profit from personal sales and sales from your team or the associates that are underneath you that you brought in. So for example, one of the girls that I spoke with, she is, she's working with an MLM hair product company. And yes, she makes a great living just off of her sales. But where she really makes her bread and butter is that she has a huge, very successful team underneath her, which a lot of people have told me, like, why do you have to join? Why do you have to have this team aspect? And I was kind of in the same boat. I'm like, can't I just buy the product? Like, why does all this have to happen? And a lot of companies have seen that in MLM and don't actually force you to be part of their team or be an associate to buy their product. But what I think is really, really, really like interesting is this girl who is crushing it in sales decided to build her team and make more money. And all that was is that she's just getting rewarded for being a good leader. It wouldn't be any different than if she was working as a salaried employee for the same company and they just upgraded her to a manager. So it's very much like, it's not new. Like, this is how businesses work. This is how human relations has worked within employees. It's just done in a little different way with multi-level marketing. So it's not anything brand new to us, guys. You know, the compensation plans for each MLM looks totally different. I've heard crazy amounts of compensation that some people get for MLMs. And then I've kind of researched a couple other companies where I'm like, wow, they really don't make that much kickback for selling the product. So I think every single MLM company is different. I will tell you that most of them are compensation based per product and then compensation based per like sales goal, or I know a lot of them give out cars or vacations or try to emphasize on bonuses and different things like that. So you do get compensated outside of just general sales. But for the most part, that's multi-level marketing, guys. Like I said, it's not new. They didn't break the wheel with this one. It's the same thing that we've been doing within companies, only now they took it and they offered it on a widespread opportunity for everyone. I don't want to talk about, I know I kind of dived into a little bit of some new ideas of how you can think about MLM. Before I kind of get into my real opinion of multi-level marketing companies and multi-level marketing just in general, I did want to talk a little bit about when I asked you guys specifically about multi-level marketing, what you said. When I talked to you guys, I did two things. I kind of did like an open questionnaire, like, hey, what do you think about this? And then I did a poll. So we would have two ways to really look at how everybody's feeling about multi-level marketing and affiliate marketing. But so I asked just a general blank question. I said, how do you feel about multi-level marketing? And I'm going to read you just a couple comments. One was, stop them already. I can't take another message in my inbox about skinny wraps. another one said, it's too money driven. There's not enough heart in the business. Another person said it's just too much on social media. So for the most part, when I polled the Famgram, everyone kind of had a little bit of a sour taste in their mouth as well as multi-level marketing. But when I asked the same question, but I said, how do you feel about affiliate marketing? Not very many people had different opinions. Someone said, bloggers are no different than multi-level marketing. They're just getting paid in a different way. And then another person said, there's not really much difference between someone saying, swipe up on my link or join my team. And I thought, wow, that's like some really good insight. And I think what's going on here is not that people are mad at affiliate marketing or not that people are mad at multi-level marketing, because at the end of the day, we're consumers and we're consumers that are driven by products, and especially with social media and how we can just instantly have things at our fingertips. This only came about because there was a source that wanted it. People only started showing different products and swiping and doing all these things because we wanted to get products and we wanted to know about products that fast. So whether or not we're mad about affiliate marketing or we're mad about multi-level marketing, we kind of created it because we wanted it to happen that fast, which I think a lot of people don't realize. Now, because there was such a need for it, everyone followed suit. And now I think what's going on is that the culture is so saturated with both multi-level marketing and affiliate marketing that people have lost their, they're just desensitized. Like, they don't even want to look at a product because it's being presented to them the same way 5 million products have already been presented to them that day. So it was no surprise to me when I took a poll and I said, multi-level marketing, do you like it? Do you hate it? What, where are you at? 55% said that they liked it. 45% said, excuse me, 45%. I don't know where that accent came from. 45% said that they didn't. So what that's telling me is that, one, there's people who don't really mind, but more than that, what I think is going on is 55% of the people that are just part of my community are probably involved in multi-level marketing. So that's a huge eye-opener. When I asked who is working for a multi-level marketing company, and that was just a blank statement, 79% said that they were. That's crazy, you guys. That means almost 80% of people who I polled are in some way working for a multi-level company. So you can tell me all day that you don't like multi-level marketing, but that right there is telling me that, like it or not, there's more people involved with it than not involved with it. Well, at least in my community. So what I'm trying to say here, guys, and what I really want to kind of just smash open is, why do we have a bad taste in our mouth with multi-level marketing? And why do we have a bad taste in our mouth about affiliate marketing? Yet we're still swiping, we're still following, and we're still participating. And I think it's because we have accepted that this is how we're going to be sold to. We don't necessarily like it, but this is how we are going to get sold to. And what's really, really powerful about this is some people say, oh, I could never get into multi-level marketing or affiliate marketing because everybody hates it and that scares me and I don't want to do sales that people don't like. Well, what you're missing here is that, yes, it's very saturated and there's tons of businesses online and brands and influencers trying to sell this way, but there's not a lot doing it the correct way. There's not a lot of people using multi-level marketing or affiliate in a way that people respond positively to. And that's what I want to talk about next, is I want to talk about how, when you're involved in a multi-level marketing company, or you want to get involved in affiliate marketing with your business, how to do it correctly, how to do it where people are like, oh, I love when you share products because it's stuff I actually want to buy. And more than that, how do you be successful with it so you can not just increase your business, but increase your brand awareness and your collaboration with other products? That's what we're going to talk about next. Okay, so hold on 1 second. Whew. Oh my gosh, that is so much better. I just want to give you a visual real quick. I just took my top off, but it's not weird. Okay, I have a bra on. I cannot stop sweating, you guys. I normally record my podcast in my office, but my son is home today and he's running around the house trying to find me. He's with his dad. He's not alone. So I'm hiding in our bathroom and the lights, actually, it's not even the lights. It's the fact that I'm just super freaking pregnant. I'm sweating all over. So I took my top off and I placed tissues under what I think used to be breast. They're now melons. But I have tissues underneath them to stop the sweating. So I just wanted to give you that visual that that's who you're taking business advice from right now. And I feel pretty good about it. It's multitasking at its finest. So with that being said, let's keep it moving. Let me tell you a little bit more about sales. So way back in the day, before I started my business and before I had an online business, I worked for a corporate fitness company. A huge part of my job is because what we would do is we would create these huge gyms for corporations. And what my main part of my job responsibility was to train their sales force or sales managers, associates, etc. What I learned in this process is that most of the time, the best people who I ever trained to be sales associates were people who did not think that they could do sales. And it's because when you think of sales, you think of a certain way, right? We've all been sold a certain way, and that's typically what we think of with sales. And I would argue that sales is not being one specific thing. Sales is being yourself, but more importantly, it's knowing how to talk to people, and it's knowing how to convey the things that you feel passionate about to other people. As long as you're doing that, you're doing sales and you're doing it well. It's the people who try to make it something else that I think kind of get lost and kind of put a bad rep on sales reps, if you will. But needless to say, every time I would go in and I would start training employees to do sales, almost all of them would say, I can't do sales. I can't go up and talk to people. I can't like pressure people. I can't do all these things. And I looked at them and I said, absolutely, you can't do that. Like, who wants to do that? Who wants to pressure someone into buying something? Wouldn't you rather tell someone about something that could change their life or make their life better or make them happier and them just want to know more about it? And everyone would always agree, yes. And so that's what the approach I try to take when I'm working with people on increasing their sales and increasing what I like to call their personality with sales. Not their sales personality, their personality with sales. So when people talk to me about multi-level marketing or affiliate marketing, a lot of people are intimidated and they say, well, I just don't think I could do it. Like, how do I even know that that this pertains to me? Like, this is something I could do. And the answer is very, very simple. If you are someone who enjoys sharing your life, you can do affiliate marketing. You can do multi-level marketing. If you are someone who naturally gives your opinion, and I'm not just saying on a social media spectrum, but if you love to sit down with your girlfriends and tell them about the new products that you try, or last time I went to Sephora, I tried this and I loved it, then you could do multi-level marketing or affiliate marketing because you genuinely have that talent to tell people about things that change your life, involve your life, or just make you really happy and that you're impressed with. I also think it's important to know that multi-level marketing or affiliate marketing does not have to be quit your job. This is the only thing that you do. Now, do a lot of people want to work towards that? Absolutely. Do a lot of people want to be their own boss and have that lifestyle? Of course. But more than anything, and especially what I found out, is that multi-level marketing and affiliate marketing should be a side hustle. And a lot of people will disagree with me on this, okay? But hear me out. The number one mistake people make when they start being involved with multi-level marketing or they start being involved with affiliate marketing is that they don't make themselves a brand first, okay? So hear me out. Number one mistake you make, and this is what you've seen, and we've all seen it. You followed Stacy from high school, and you loved following Stacy because of all the pictures she showed of her dog and her memes, and you know, you loved following her outfits, loved all this. She would share, and then all of a sudden she stopped sharing her life and she only started sharing the product that she was selling. So all you're seeing is bombarded is, try this, let me talk to you this, do you have 5 minutes to watch this video? That's all you see, bam, bam, bam. And so now all of a sudden, all the reasons that you liked following Stacy from high school or whatever are gone because all you see is products and all you see is sales being shoved at you. And the huge, huge mistake that Stacy made, or the huge mistake that a lot of people make, is that they don't make themselves a brand first. When you make yourself a brand first, when you make sure that your lifestyle and who you are is the number one reason to motivate the content that you put on social media or that you put on your website or that you put on your blog, people will always be confused because they want to follow you. If they are committed to you and what you say and what life you live and they dig it, then they're open to see what products you use in your life. That's the mistake that people make, is assuming that you can go from one extreme to the other. And I see it every single day. And I don't just see it with people who are not necessarily bloggers or influencers or in the social media like realm. Like I see it with like people who are like have huge followings that all of a sudden I follow them for a certain reason, and it's been weeks or months since I've even seen a shred of content that's related to that, because all I'm doing is getting like sales stuff and it will turn me off, I mean, immediately. And that's what happens to a lot of people and why they initially out of the gate cannot be very successful with affiliate marketing and multi-level marketing, is because they don't have a brand. They don't have a reason for a following. So later on, when you're trying to progress your sales and you're trying to progress that side hustle, people are burnt out because they know that they can go to your page and all they're going to see is what you're promoting. They're not going to see anything about your life. So when I say, that's what I say, when it should be your side hustle, is it should not be the main purpose for your website, your Instagram, your Facebook. It should be something that complements your life and the lifestyle that you're putting out there, not just that's all that people see. So I needed to say it. There is tons of people that their full-time job is affiliate marketing and working with multi-level marketing, but I guarantee you, if they're not creating good content, oh, you guys, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to stop mid-sentence and midpoint, but I don't know if you guys have caught on and you've listened to my other podcasts, but I actually do zero scripting for any of my podcasts. I do zero editing because, well, one, I really want you to feel like you're having a conversation with me and this isn't just me reading off of a script being an actress, but two, I don't know. I just like giving it to you real. And if I'm giving it to you real midway through dropping my knowledge gospel, my husband walked in and needed help finding his flip-flops. Even though he's a grown man, and I put his flip-flops back in the same place every single day, but we still needed help finding them. So, sorry about that. Where were we? Okay, so we just talked about who MLM and affiliate marketing is for. Question is, how do I do it? Because it's one thing to say what everyone else is doing, but I kind of feel like that, not that I am, I wouldn't consider myself the best in the business just in terms of doing affiliate marketing, because if I'm being totally real with you guys, I am 100% always more invested in selling my own products than selling other people's. But I do really have seen the benefits of collaborating and doing different styles of marketing with other products other than my own. So like I said, am I the best in the business? Probably not. But have I found a formula that really works for me and that I think my community appreciates? Absolutely. And that's just what I want to share with you. So to be totally straightforward, I have never really done any multi-level marketing. Not because I think there's anything wrong with them, not because I would never be interested in them, but literally for the mere fact that I've never ran across a service or a product that I felt so passionate about that was a multi-level marketing company that I wanted to take my business energy and invest in. That's just the truth. I order a lot of products from multi-level marketing companies. I know a lot of other entrepreneurs that I follow and I respect and I love what they do that are involved in multi-level marketing. So I'm familiar with it, but it's just never really crossed my path. Now to say that maybe down the road, totally could. I'm open to it. But for right now, like I told you guys, the most familiar thing I am with is affiliate marketing or collaborations. So I'm a little selective. I know I mentioned last year that I actually did not take any compensation from any collaborations because more than anything, it was just a personal choice that I wanted to really invest a lot of work in bringing good products to my community and my content and then know that I'm not making any money off of this. This is strictly for you. And in a way, it was kind of a way to build y'all's confidence and my community's confidence in me, but also is like kind of like a spiritual cleansing because previously I just did not like how I was doing my affiliate marketing. Like I said, I started in the fitness industry way before social media was what it was. It was a lot of like expos, like I'm in a sports bra slinging protein, and that never really felt good to me. But it was what you did. And actually, I was a sponsored athlete for 6 years, and back in the day, being a sponsored athlete was a really big deal. It was kind of like a mile marker in your career in the fitness industry that you were respected enough and well-known enough that a company actually wanted to sponsor you. And it used to be financially a huge part of a fitness influencer's business, I would say. And then things changed, and as social media grew and the culture grew, everyone was kind of becoming sponsored athletes, and it really wasn't as like special and as sought after because it was getting offered to everyone. And along with that, it also wasn't really the financial reward that it used to be. And that's not why I was ever with my supplement company. I loved the company that I worked with. I loved their products. They were like family to me. I was with them for 6 years. But I decided to leave my contract after 6 years, which was a huge kind of risk, if I'm just telling the truth, was a huge risk because although it meant a lot that I was a sponsored athlete, it meant more to me that I wanted the opportunity to try different things because as I was evolving as a person, my business was evolving with me and my personal beliefs were evolving. And I wanted the opportunity to try different things. And when someone asked me, hey, what supplements do you recommend? I wanted to be able to really recommend whatever I wanted, whatever I thought was the best product out there. And when you're in a contract with one company and you're doing affiliate marketing where you can only talk about their products, I felt chained and I felt like I wasn't being as honest and as transparent with my community as I could be. So I made the decision to leave my contract, and really I've loved it. I've been able to do affiliate marketing with tons of different companies, and it was also a really great way to break out of my traditional brand mold. Obviously, most of you probably listen to me because you started following me because of fitness. And now if you've noticed, kind of got some different things going on. I talk about business. I'm passionate about my family. I'm passionate about moms. I'm passionate about prenatal, postnatal. Like, there's all these things that I'm so passionate about. And affiliate marketing is amazing because along with what I already bring to my company from, or excuse me, bring to my community from my company, now because I'm not tied down to one specific product, I can offer a variety of things that I think reaches all the people that are in my community, not just the people who are interested in fitness. So for me, that's really kind of my story with affiliate marketing. As I progress into the future, I want to still stay very selective about taking on collaborations. But what I also want to do is I want to kind of break out of my comfort zone and work with products and companies that are not something you typically see from me. So that's really what I want to do in the future, and I would suggest the same thing. So whether you are promoting a multi-level marketing product or service, or whether you're just getting started on your blog or your website, and you're getting, you know, little offers here and there to collaborate with brands, just know that you always have the opportunity to reinvent yourself with your marketing. I do it every single year. But there's definitely, like I mentioned, a finesse about it. And what's really important to me and what I want to leave you guys with is I want to leave you guys with the do's and don'ts of affiliate marketing or multi-level marketing, because I see some people out there doing a great job. And I see some people out there like, have you lost your damn mind? And this is no shade, because trust me, I have made so many mistakes with marketing. I made so many mistakes with like collaborating with certain brands that maybe weren't the best idea. Like, trust me, we've all made mistakes, but I want to give you a list that you can take today and you can apply to your business and hopefully have a little bit of guidelines of things that will make you successful and things that might make you what I like to call a sales douchebag. Okay. And we don't want to be that. We don't want to be the latter. We want to be the first and we want to be successful. So let's start off with the positives. What to do when you're starting to do affiliate marketing or multi-level marketing. So like I said, I touched on this before. So crucial to have your own story, your own story, your own brand, and your own vibe. Okay. So important you have that first established with the people that are following you and that you keep that at the forefront, okay? As long as you're going to have a social media presence, as long as you're gonna have an online presence, who you are needs to be number one. That's who people need to figure out when they're landing on your page or your website. Let whatever affiliate marketing or multi-level marketing you're doing be the latter effect of that. Second do is take responsibility and being genuine about what you're saying, what you're promoting, and what effect it might have on people. For example, I see this all the time, and it's like, I mean, it's just annoying. We'll just put it out there. It's annoying. I absolutely hate it when I'm following someone's story. They're giving me kind of like a testimonial, something about their day, something that's funny, something I'm just like, oh, I'm like invested. I want to watch this. And then they'll be like, and then I tried this tea and it was amazing and I lost 50 pounds, da, 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 da. And it goes from like them being genuine to like a sales pitch. And it like, oh, it's so just like not classy, guys. So make sure that whatever content you're putting out there, whether it be a photo, whether it be a story, whether it just be what you're, you know, having a normal conversation with a stranger, if you're going to move into what you're trying to market, make sure it's genuine and it makes sense. And another thing, quit, I'm just gonna say it, quit holding tubs of protein half naked and assume that people are going to take you serious. Now, do I sometimes dabble along that? Because like, there's only so many things that you can do in far as getting people's attention and holding a product or something like that. But for the most part, try to be more creative than just being half naked holding something. That's just general good advice. Another do, and this one is kind of for the people who have been in the game a little bit and they're trying to increase their sales. They're trying to maybe be their own boss, get out of the 9-to-5. Those who are trying to look at more of a lifestyle doing this type of marketing, it really is a job and you have to treat it that way. You can't just assume because you started selling a product, everybody's going to want it and everyone's going to knock down your door and be like, can I order 5 from you? You have to treat it like a job and you have to create the hustle that goes behind any job. So a lot of that is knowing who you're marketing to, knowing your product, doing your research, whether that be doing it on your own or whether that be working with someone who's, you know, in the field that you're in and letting them mentor you. Do the work. Create a job for yourself. And the more work you put in, the more successful you will be. But like I said, it's still work. It's not if you build it, they will come. Because trust me, everybody's building it right now, guys. And everybody has somebody selling something similar. You need to make sure that you put in the work, that you stand out, and people want to hear what you are talking about because they trust you. And my last, I'm going to like throw two do's into the last one, but basically recognize the reputation of what you're selling and be different about it. I'm going to use an example. We have all seen people, selling, how do I describe this company without saying their name? Skincare. Okay. This company is selling skincare. We have all seen, and I'll just tell you with personal experience, I counted just yesterday and I had 23 direct messages about just this company, I get hit up a lot. And that's not cause I'm like super fancy or important, but it's just part of the game of running your business online. But anyways, this company sells skincare and I got a little upset with one of the girls who messaged me trying to sell me this skincare because first off, I've had what a lot of people don't realize is most of the time when you're contacting someone to sell them you're basically like cold contacting them to sell them a product, the spiel that you got from that business to use has probably been used multiple times to that person. In fact, a person like me, it's been used multiple times in a day. And you want me to give you the respect of my time, my money, and my interest, but you won't even take the time to write a personal message to me about what you're trying to sell? That's what I'm saying, guys. Know the reputation of the people who are selling the product that you're selling and be different. Be personal. Spend that 5 seconds, go on my page, see a little bit about me, and then maybe try and make a sales pitch at me. It's the same thing that I have to do with training. I never, ever, ever speak to a client for the first time the way I spoke to a client the last time. I always open up with the same thing because I'm trying to get you to talk about yourself and trying to get you to learn about yourself, but I am never running through a protocol in my head. I'm in the moment with you. I'm present. I'm learning about that person. And then I am having a conversation with you and I'm having a conversation before I'm ever thinking about having a sales pitch to you. And that's what I mean by just knowing the reputation that's out there and trying to change it. I think what is a huge, huge, huge opportunity is if you can correctly tell someone how much you love a product and do it in a different way than they've been sold that product time and time and time and time and time again, you got gold. You really, really have gold. And you know, the last do, and this is a major, and I kind of touched on it earlier, but the major do is you need to do this. It's like I talked about with that girl. We do not have the same attention span that we used to years ago. Social media has made us be like, what's next? What's gonna do this? What? I'm bored. Nope, nope, nope. In fact, there is only a 20% chance that someone will actually read past the first 3 words of a post. 20%. So kind of take that into consideration that that's where our headspace is at as a culture right now. And if you want me to give you what I think is my valuable time, okay, my attention that I'm already not really wanting to give because it's just the culture that we're in, you need to provide me something. And as a consumer, that's how you should always think about the consumer. Before a consumer can provide me with a sale, I need to provide them something for them to even give me their attention. Because you have to take entitlement out in sales. No one owes you their intention. No one owes you their sale. And no one, you can't assume that every single person gives two shits about what you're talking about. They just don't. And what I like to say is give them one of the three. Give them knowledge, give them entertainment, or give them change. If you are not giving them one of those three things in the content that you're putting out there in online business or in the conversations that you're having with someone, why would they ever want to hear anything that you have to say? And that's a really, if you can take the ego out and if you can really just commit to providing one of those three things and how you're trying to present anything to a potential customer, you will start seeing better sales. And not only that, you will start seeing a more genuine relationship with your customers and your community because you're providing them something and not expecting their attention for free. So that's really the do's. If you can follow that, I guarantee you, you're going to be 10 times more successful at multi-level marketing or at affiliate marketing. But I just want to talk about the don'ts because this is kind of fun to me. And I'm going to try not to be a hater because, like I said, I have made a lot of mistakes and I have probably done sales horribly wrong. I've been in sales, in some form of sales, my whole entire life. And now I'm kind of blessed and lucky that I get the opportunity to not really do sales, but I just do my business and I don't know, it works. And I never feel like I'm selling anybody anything. But trust me, I've made some mistakes that I've included in the don't list. And well, I see a lot of don'ts every single day that I included in the don't list. So the first don't to multi-level marketing or affiliate marketing is get out of my DMs. Get out of the DMs. Seriously, it's so impersonal. It's so like cheesy. And I'm not dumb. Like when you send me a message or when you send a consumer a message that like literally has nothing like customized or nothing that pertains to them, we're not dumb. Consumers are not dumb. We know that you're sending that to everyone. So like, just don't do it. Cheesy. It's impersonal. It's not genuine. And it's typically not going to result in a successful sale for you because let's just face it, you're sliding into somebody's DMs. What I do suggest doing is before you contact a person, make sure you spend time, whether it be on their website or on their page or who they are, spend some time having a genuine conversation with them before you ever think about offering an opportunity to sell them something. Plus, I just think that's just being a good human being. So that's my first don't. My second don't is do not expect people to pay attention to your content if it sucks. This was a lesson I really had to learn, and not until recently I've really put a huge emphasis on. So creating good content is everything. Whether you're running an online business, whether you're a blogger, whether you're an influencer, having interesting content is really what's going to drive your business. And I'm not going to lie, very few people can just snap some stuff on the iPhone and it works. You do have to invest in it. One of the things that I'm doing in this next year is I am putting a lot more of my budget towards content, a lot more of my energy, because I'm not going to lie, I hate taking content photos. I think it's weird that I have to like create my life and take pictures of it, but that's what it is. It is what it is. That's the game. And I try to keep it as real as much as possible. And that's what saves me mentally from all of it. But in like, to be completely honest with you guys, you need constant content. It needs to be good content. You need to invest in it. And I'm not saying go hire really expensive photographers all the time to take your content, but have content that you're proud of, that people are interested in, that people want to interact with. My third don't is, and I kind of touched on this in the first one, don't assume that you're smarter than the person that you're talking to. I had a girl contact me, I think it was like a week ago, and she was selling a product, and it was a supplement product. And she made two huge major mistakes. First mistake is she said something along the lines of, "Hey girl, I know you're so sick of working your 9-to-5. I have a job that can give you financial freedom, blah, blah, blah." Second mistake, and on top of that, it can get you like the body you've always wanted, to drop pounds, da 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 da. So obviously, like I said, she was sliding in my DMs like she slides in everybody else's DMs. But a huge problem that she made is that she forgot to take even a second to look at that. One, I don't work a 9-to-5. I run a business. Okay. Two, I run a fitness business. So I'm probably pretty well versed in supplementation. So she assumed that she was smarter than me. She also assumed that I had problems that she had a cure for. Okay. So what that mistake is made and why that type of selling can be very effective, but it's very manipulative and I don't like it. And a lot of people, I think, agree with me. They don't respond to it because you're assuming, okay, that I need a cure for something. She assumed that I wanted to get out of my current job. She assumed that I needed to lose weight or that I wanted to lose weight. And when you do that, it kind of just makes you look like an asshole and it can be taken in a wrong way. It can actually be taken where you're like highly like you can offend them by that kind of sales technique. So if you're working with a company who's kind of pushing that to be your sales persona or how they want you to market a product, you need to stand your ground and be very, very specific that that's not how you want to sell your product, because you want to be more genuine than that. You want to be more respectful than that, than to assume that you are smarter than the random person you're contacting and that you have answers that maybe they don't need answers to. My last don't. Okay. And this is a huge one. And this is across the board. I think this is just being a human in general. But more than that, if we're talking to it in a sales spectrum, remember that your first contact with someone is everything, all right? First impressions really are everything. Whether you're meeting someone new for the first time on a date, you're going into a job interview, you're at a party meeting new people, or you're in the first conversation you have with someone that might potentially want to invest in your business, what they think of you in that first contact is everything. Very, very rarely in life, in relationships, especially in sales opportunities, do you get a, I don't know, like you don't, you get one shot, guys, you get one shot. And I want you to think about how you want people to talk to you. Do you want that one shot of someone trying to make an impression on you to be to just shove a sales product down your throat? Probably not. Or if do you want that first impression of someone to see a picture that you posted with the product make them feel bad? Possibly make them feel bad about themselves. I want my first interaction with people, for one, to be a positive experience. Two, to maybe even be an uplifting experience. And three, I want it to be about them. I don't want it to be about me. And that's just me striving to be a good person in general, is I want to be present with the person that I'm interacting with, whether it's a one-on-one conversation or it's 30,000 people that I posted a photo to. I want to be present with them and I want them at the forefront, because that's when we really learn a lot about ourselves. And I think we really, it allows us the opportunity to be genuine with one another. So remember, your first contact, it really is everything. And going back to the oldest saying in the book about sales, you guys, the customer is number one. And if you are only thinking about your sales, if you're only thinking about how you can market a product, they will always be a customer instead of being someone that you're connecting with. And that's what I want to leave you with. We talked about do's and don'ts and how to do it and what the difference is. And I just feel like we got a lot done, and I'm not gonna lie, I just stopped sweating, which is super exciting because for this whole entire podcast, I wasn't sure if that was gonna happen. I absolutely love this subject. I could talk all day long about marketing and sales and I don't know how to not be a sales douchebag, because it's something I'm really passionate about. But more than anything, thank you so much, guys, for giving me all this feedback to do this podcast. I ask you all of the questions on the Famgram, and you guys always deliver with, one, some pretty entertaining stuff, but two, just really good, solid insight to what you want to hear. So it makes my job a hell of a lot easier doing this podcast when I know already a little bit about where you stand. So I'm wrapping up today. Hopefully, the next time I get on here, I'm gonna have a baby in my arms. Well, maybe not in my arms. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's like, I've been thinking if I should bring, who I should bring on as my first guest. Maybe it should be my baby. I don't know. Let me know. Drop in the comments. Let me know what you think. If my first guest on my podcast should be my baby. But yeah, I am coming up in a couple days on my due date. Things are going to get really crazy around here, I have a feeling. And I don't know when I'm going to have the next podcast, if I'm just being real with you guys. But definitely hop on the Famgram. Once again, Alicia A. Wilson. Or you can go to my Facebook, Alicia White Wilson. Or you can go to my website, AliciaWilson.com, or you can even send me a personal email, girl, if you have any questions, suggestions, or insights on what I can do with this podcast. I answer every single DM. Like I told you, I see all those sales pitches in the DMs. I see all of them because I answer every single DM back, every comment on my photo, and every single email that gets sent to me at Alicia A. Wilson. So definitely, I like hearing from you guys, and I want to hear what you have to say about this podcast. And thanks so much for all the well wishes on this baby coming up. I will keep you guys tuned in as much as I can on the Famgram, and make sure to stay tuned into the Famgram too, because I don't know, I might need some help on my next podcast subject. So thank you so much, guys. I want to hope you have a wonderful day. I hope this information is just going to like get you so motivated to get out there and crush the business goals. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.